Morning, everyone. Welcome here as well. It's been an encouraging morning, I would say, and I think something we all can identify with. And I appreciated the theme song that, you know, no matter the discouragement we face in life, God is there. And let's just hang on that promise. My brother, several of my brothers, and my father are here, and my brother Wilmer has consented to bring the message this morning, so we will give him our attention. He'll close with prayer as well. Let's first of all just stand for prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your love. We thank you that you are here for us no matter what we face in life. I pray that you would just help us to keep our eyes on you and to claim your promises. I pray that you'd be with Brother Wilmer as he brings a sermon this morning, and pray for each one of us that our hearts would be open to whatever you have for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated.
Greetings in Jesus' precious name this morning. It has been a pleasure to be here. The challenges we have received. Greetings from Guatemala. It's a long ways away, but we have been enjoying our time together as with our father and brothers. It's been a blessing. And my thoughts have been the same as our brother on in his devotions. Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. It's a little hard that I'm not with my family. My wife misses me, but pray for them. The burden I have this morning we'll find in Genesis 22. Genesis 22, verses 1 to 14. Father, lay your son on the altar. I'd like to read these, the first 14 verses. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here am I. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass and I, and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of this place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. It is always an impressive story. God testing Abraham. Would you say, fathers, that God is testing you the same way? Not just fathers, mothers also this morning. Before you give an answer, let's take a look at what Abraham went through. Maybe we can somehow glean or gain, have a picture, what we need to do, how diligent we need to be in guiding, teaching, walking with our children. Fathers, Abraham showed here, showed by his life, what kind of commitment he had. Our children see our example. How is it going in your home, in your life? First of all, we see that Abraham passed the test of immediate obedience, prompt obedience, verse 2. Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. Right away. And Abraham rose up early. He didn't wait a week. He didn't say, God, this is too much for me. Abraham rose up early. Promptly. Prompt obedience. That promptness touches so many areas of life. Child training. God says, train your child in the way he should go. He didn't say, wait till 6 years old. He said, do it. Promptness. Am I lax? Are you? We cannot afford to wait too long. Wait till after all the cuteness is worn off. After all the stunts aren't really funny anymore. Abraham did not tell God no. This is something I just cannot do. He didn't say that. What about us? What about us as fathers and mothers? Do we tell God it's just too hard? I can't discipline my 1-year-old. I find it so hard to say no to the little child. Or whatever difficulty or whatever you may find difficult in training, raising your family. So we put it off. And when we finally wake up, it's just about too late. But it's not too late, just about too late. If we sincerely ask God for help and forgiveness, we, with the help of God, can turn things around if we have failed in the past. We need to be prompt in our obedience to God, fathers. Prompt. Verse 4. Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. When's the last time you've done that? When was the last time you've lifted up your eyes to gaze into the future? We cannot exactly see the future. But with God's help, we can have a vision for the future. Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. Have we looked at our destination? Do we have our eyes on that place we are going to? We look and see that is where we are going. That is where we want to go. That is where God is calling us to go. Where do we desire our children to go to church? What kind of friends do we want our children to have? We want them to choose the way of sacrifice and not the way of ease and pleasure. Isaac, it would seem that Isaac did not know exactly where they were headed, and our children may not look ahead like we should be as fathers. They may not be looking ahead and seeing where we're going. They may not, in a sense, know the destination totally. Yes, they should. They should know some, but it's different. Are we helping our children make wise, God-honoring goals? As fathers, we must know where we are going and keep our eyes on that goal and guide our young ones in the ways of truth. And if we are in this together, so much the better. So many have taken side roads because Satan is busy and because fathers are busy, and maybe the mothers too. They went together, verse 5 and 6. Tells the servants to stay. Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship. And they went, both of them together. Isn't that a beautiful picture? And they went, both of them together. Abraham walking with his son. They had a day or two together here, just those two. Fathers, walk with your children. Walk with them. There is no better way to their hearts. How can fathers walk with their sons or mothers with their daughters? How can we walk with our children? Did Abraham and Isaac, as they walked toward Mount Moriah, have a lot to talk about? The Bible doesn't say. But it does say that Isaac asked about the lamb for the sacrifice. I like to believe it was a time of sharing. I like to think that they talked of many things. Is it possible that Abraham talked about God? Did he try to prepare his son for what was ahead? Does not say that either. If Abraham tried to prepare his son for what he was going to face. But the challenge, fathers, is to prepare our children and youth for what they may face. Some things we know they will face, and some things we do not, but we are preparing them, walking with them, talking to them. We must, absolutely must, set time apart for our families. We should work together when possible, and that gives time to talk and to learn. Show them the road that leads to heaven, the road to God. Help them understand more about God. Family devotions. Do we make it interesting even for the little ones? Are we helping our youth to grasp the deeper meanings of God's word? Sing together, pray together, ask them questions, and get them to ask you questions. It is so important, and it is such a good time to be together as a family. As parents, we must build and nurture their confidence in us. I do not doubt in any way that Isaac had total confidence in his father. We will be looking a little more at Abraham binding his son and laying him on the altar. But way before this took place, there had to be a relationship established. Some think that Isaac may have been around 20 years old, and here it calls him a lad, so maybe he was younger. Isaac. Abraham was an old man. Would it have been possible for Isaac to resist if he had wanted to? And that may have been the outcome if he had not had total confidence in his father. Will not the results be the same if we build an intimate relationship with our sons and daughters? Total confidence. A father can have the total confidence of his children. If we get angry, if we do not live consistently, it is so easy to destroy that confidence they want to place in us. They will give their hearts to someone else, and that someone else may not have the same godly goals that we have for them. So what are some practical ways of building a good, solid relationship with our children? Fathers, take time to help them in their projects and interests. When they are little and they come running to show father something they made, maybe something they made at school or mother helped them, or some small thing of their own creation, and it's not really that much, but what do? We're busy, right? Busy. But not too busy to get down on their level and see what they have to show us. Not too busy to answer their questions. And that is important. Answer their many, many questions. Some children ask more questions than others. And we may get tired of all the questions. Let's just continue to answer their questions. When they're little, fathers are so wise and they know so much. That was mentioned already today. What happens, though, if we just are too busy and we don't take time for them? We say, well, I'm too busy. I can't answer. I can't. I don't have time for you. We don't say that, but that's how we act sometimes. Well, when they're bigger, they won't have time for us. If we hardly ever take time for them, when they have perplexities and difficulties, they may turn to someone else. But if we have taken time for them, and they have questions, and they have difficulties, they have these perplexities of life, and but Dad has always been there for me, so I go to him. We help to form their opinion of us. Do we realize how far-reaching are those little moments we share with our little ones? Will we cherish them? Or we will cherish those moments, and they will too. And it is certainly a blessing. When they come to us as youth, because they know that father and mother will never turn them away. Probably we're not that good, that it never happens. But hopefully we can work at that. Another thing to remember is not to avoid all hardship. Our children are watching us. Abraham gives us an example, and he gave his son an example. Would you be willing, father, to bind your son and lay him on the altar? And again, we're going to look at that a little bit more later. But Isaac saw his father do a very hard thing. He was willing to give up his only son. What do our children learn when we face the challenges of life? That father is strong or that Father quickly tries to avoid anything disagreeable. That Father cries out to God to face the challenges and conquer it. Oh, I pray that each one of us would. We are weak at times. Let's pray for more strength. And then that will strengthen their respect for us. When we are willing to face the challenge, and with God's help and others helping us, overcome whatever difficulty is before us. Verse 6, again, Abraham laid the wood for the burnt offering upon Isaac. And I would like to compare this to the restrictions we place on our children. These are many and varied. What we wear, what kind of obedience we require of them. We could think of respect. We require them to respect siblings, their elders, those in authority, us as parents. The world we live in says that it is not necessary, and they actually say maybe it's not right to require these things of our children. They say the child doesn't understand, and we must wait until they're older and can choose for themselves. And what happens? It doesn't work. It doesn't work because God has not designed it to be that way. We must, from a very young age, require more of them than they understand. There must be discipline and order in the home. Obedience in the life of each child from little on up. And when he grows older, he will begin to understand why. Isaac carried the wood because his father gave him that responsibility. Our children do the things we ask of them simply because we ask it of them. And of course, that changes with age and accountability. Abraham carried in his hand the fire and the knife. These represent the responsibilities of parents. They are the things that the parents carry, not the children. Some get this mixed up. Some take the wood because it looks heavy. What is fire used for? Refining is one thing. Tempering steel is another. Or heat. We think of fire or the heat of the fire bringing out the bad in the refining process. And discipline is like a fire. Parents use discipline to refine the characters of their children. We cannot give them the fire. And especially the knife. Abraham knew that it would be used to slay the sacrifice. For all he knew, to slay his son. Isaac was not going to slay himself. Parents at times hand over the responsibilities of character building to their children, when it is their God-given responsibility. At ages so very young, a child has to choose for himself, and he should not have to. Next, Abraham bound Isaac, verse 9. And bound Isaac, his son. What do we learn from the word bind? Forcing one to submit, restrain. From a very young age, we are binding precept upon precept. We are teaching and restraining them from evil by binding them to the truth. Teaching them the way of right and wrong as outlined in God's guidebook, the Bible. Here a little, there a little. One day at a time, placing their feet on the path that leads to God. The more we teach, the more they know of God, the quicker they will embrace what we have taught them. What do the Catholics say? Give us a child for the first 6 years of his life, and he will always be a Catholic. They understand how a child can be molded. Do we, fathers? What they learn in those first years stays with them the rest of their lives. God says so in His Word. Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. It's true, Solomon wrote this, but God inspired him to write this. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Maybe you think the word bind sounds harsh. Do we really bind them to our way of thinking? Do we really bind them to the truth? It's not just our way of thinking. It's biblical. But do we really bind them to the truth? Or are we swayed by modern error? A child has his rights. I'm not talking about abusing our responsibilities as parents. When that happens, yes, they do have certain rights. I'm talking about following God's design. A child, I don't know what age, but a young child, does not make hardly any important decisions. Very, very few. And yes, they will sense an obligation to do right. They should know that it is required of them. But if we follow God's design, they will also feel love and appreciation. Many times they will do what is right because they know it pleases us, and later on it pleases God. They will understand that. And that brings them right where we want them and where God wants them. Obedience. The example that we saw the first lesson test. Obedience. Are we giving that example, and then are we requiring it of them? Guiding them, restraining them. Abraham laid Isaac his son on the altar upon the wood. Verse 9. And I believe this was extremely difficult. Bind his only son, but how much harder to place him on the altar? Abraham, in doing that, was submitting his will to the will of God. Fathers, are we submitting to God when it is difficult and when it looks impossible? We too must be willing to place our son or daughter on the altar. In the first place, these children belong to God. They are from God. He has given them to us. We must be willing to give them back to Him. We must be willing to do as Abraham did. God has gifted our children to us for a few short years, and it is our responsibility to teach them the way to God, so when they are older, they can return to Him. Teach them in such a way that they love the things of God and desire to walk in the truth. Give them to God. Abraham put his son, his only son, his son of promise, on the altar to sacrifice him. What do you think? How did Abraham feel at this moment? We need to cry out to God, not to avoid this, but to have the strength to do this. Place our son or daughter on the altar before God. Ask God for strength to be willing when we are not willing to punish, when we are not willing to say no, when we do not take time to teach them of God, when we are careless and negligent, when we do not know what our young people are doing, we are not placing them on the altar. We are not helping them to understand, and we don't understand ourselves. Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. How many of us as fathers would be willing to obey God if he asked that of us today? The truth is, God is asking us, fathers, to do the same today. We see a father who loved God more than he loved his son. This was the test. God wanted to see who Abraham loved the most. Who do we, fathers, love the most? God wants to see if I love my child above him. Are we saddening? Am I saddening the heart of God because I have not put God in first place and kept him there? We hear comments like, I love my son too much to spank him. It makes him cry and it hurts him. Satan has many believing that lie. The father that believes God will be willing to lay his son on the altar. He will be willing to follow God's design for child training. Proverbs 3, verse 12. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Proverbs 22, verse 15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Proverbs 19, verse 18. Chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy son spare for his crying. Do we fathers believe these verses? Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. He held nothing back. Now we see the beautiful part of the picture. We see how God provided a ram. An angel called to Abraham out of heaven. Abraham, Abraham. We could say, Father, Father, are you awake? Are you listening? Well, Abraham responded, Here am I. What are you saying? Here am I. God recognized Abraham's faithfulness. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. This story has a beautiful ending. A father and a son worshiping God together. I believe they had hearts that were very full of gratitude, full of peace. They had gone through a difficult test together. And with the help of God, they came out victorious. Are you going through a difficult experience with your child? Do you believe that you will come out victorious with God's help? They felt the presence and blessing of God in a different way than they had ever experienced before. God will provide for those who are sincere, those who are willing to go all the way, parents that are concerned for their children. It doesn't matter what others say or what philosophies the world has about child training. It doesn't matter if there are those who make fun or criticize us. We must always keep before us that desire to have faithful children. We need to follow the Bible. We do not want to have regrets like many fathers do. Many fathers who wish they had taken more time for their families. There are many children who do not receive love and discipline as they should. Parents that were too busy. Parents who neglected to discipline. Parents that got angry while they are young. As Proverbs says, we must guide them when their hearts and minds are open and pliable. We will find it much harder to discipline a young man who is rebelling than a young child. If we make our children feel stupid or get angry at them, they will not respect us. Maybe they have done something wrong. How do we relate to that? If we respond with a balance of love and understanding and discipline, we will make our relationship better, not worse. They will listen much better if we discipline them from a heart full of love and not anger. Father, maybe it looks difficult while you're in the midst of this battle. But the consequences, or the results, I should say, are truly beautiful. Father and Son worshiping God together. A family striving to please God and obey God together. Let's pray. Kneeling prayer. Heavenly Father, we cry out to Thee as our Father that You would guide us. Help us as fathers to guide our families. Give us wisdom, discernment, patience, love, understanding. Help us to seek to have Thy traits as Father. Be merciful and compassionate. Lord, we fail so many times, and forgive us. Help us to continue to grow. Bless each father here. Give each father a special portion of Thy grace. Help us to guide our families to Thee. Help us to be consistent in our example. Help us to show by our lives not necessarily perfection, but that we are trying. That we are trying. Help us also to admit our mistakes, to ask forgiveness when we need to. Help our children to see Thee through us. We thank Thee, Lord, for Thy faithfulness. We thank Thee for Thy love and goodness. Bless Thy people throughout the world. Bless my family that's not here. Bless their lives. Bless the many homes, congregations throughout the world. Pray a special blessing on each one that You would help us to be building the kingdom for Thee. Give us as fathers a greater wisdom and a greater desire to walk in faithfulness is what we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.